morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, TGIF. It is Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend. You can't start your weekend if you don't know what the news is. So welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, I'm Juliet Huddy. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's get right to it. These are the top stories making news today.
He's the top five at five.
The jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial back today for day four of deliberations. On Thursday, the judge banned MSNBC from the courthouse. Police say a freelance producer, or somebody who says he's a freelance producer, was seen following a jury bus and trying to take pictures of them. So apparently the judge says he is going to be investigating this. But in the meantime, MSNBC banned from the courthouse.
Concerning movements overseas, a new report claiming China's military is so powerful it's capable of a full-scale invasion of Taiwan and has already added weapons and ships for an attack on the island. The report also claiming the situation is worsening due to a, quote, dangerous uncertainty when it comes to America's ability to deter an attack. Taiwan, meantime, testing their fighter jets yesterday in what experts say is a provocative move and a show of strength and cooperation with the United States.
President Biden announcing Thursday that the United States is considering pulling its diplomats from the Winter Games in Beijing, the Olympics, a boycott, if you will. The move, a response to a lack of response, essentially, by China to the world's concerns over human rights abuses. American athletes would still be allowed to compete.
The Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, yesterday says that President Biden's massive climate change and social policy deal would have an equally massive effect on the national debt by the tune of $160 billion over the next decade. The news contradicting the president's earlier promises. Last night's vote on the package was derailed after a lengthy speech by Republican leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy. The group plans on reconvening again this morning.
And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is proposing a year-round school statewide. This presumably, if he does run for governor, if he actually wins the gubernatorial nod. He says the plan would be paid for by taxing the rich. And we will have more on the lame duck governor's plans in just a moment. Those are your top five at five. WABC News time is 5:03. Traffic and weather on the sevens coming up. But first, here's what's trending. The outgoing mayor, thank you, sir. The outgoing mayor, Bill de Blasio, once again trying to ban Central Park carriages. His administration putting together legislation that essentially phases out the hansom cabs, replacing them with what he calls show cars. This, according to the New York Times.
United Federation of Teachers delegates passed a resolution opposing the transfer of school security duties from the NYPD to the Department of Education on Wednesday. The measure prevailed with 75% of the tally at the labor group's delegate assembly meeting, while members voted to maintain the NYPD's purview. The resolution also called for changes to school safety agent training and operations. The debate over school security has intensified in recent years, with some politicians and activists pushing for the elimination of agents in favor of social workers and guidance counselors. The unnamed officers are 90% African-American and Hispanic and 70% women. Some argue that their association with the NYPD creates a criminalized atmosphere inside city schools and that school safety should be revamped overall.
Well, let's talk about something that I love talking about, how to save money. And apparently when you're parking in New York City, there ain't no way to save money. There's a new study out. It shows free parking is kind of, it's kind of a contradiction, sort of an anachronism, if you will. The Spot Angels app, which is fantastic, by the way, has revealed the neighborhoods, even to the exact space where you're parking, where city drivers are most likely to get a ticket nowadays. Midtown Manhattan, the Upper East and West Sides, Downtown Brooklyn, Kipps Bay, and Williamsburg are tops where drivers were mostly likely to find the tickets under their windshield wipers. That contributes to a $260 million boon that the city reaped in parking fines between October 2020 and September 2021. $260 million in parking fines. The Manhattan neighborhood that is most likely to send you to the poorhouse is Kips Bay. 13 tickets are issued every 100 parking spots, according to Spot Angels. That's 1.3 million.
New York's junior senator Kirsten Gillibrand may want to be careful about who she gives out her friends' phone numbers to. Politico reporting the Democrat used her high-powered friendship with Meghan Markle as leverage with some of her colleagues. Gillibrand is trying to get work work on a deal on paid family leave and reportedly passed along some of her colleagues' private unlisted numbers to the Duchess with the goal of adding a little star power to her cause. But Axios reporting the move backfired, with some considering it a breach of protocol that may hurt future negotiations.
I think it would be kind of cool to get a phone call from the Duchess, but, you know, not saying that she's going to convince me to do something one way or the other. We have to get to some politics now. We've got a lot to get to. Let's do some stories right before we get over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan in just 1 minute. Tough times for the president. The numbers keep dropping for Joe Biden. A new Quinnipiac poll released Thursday found just 36% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. That's a slight dip of 1% since last month, but it's the lowest it's ever been. Among independents, who experts believe are key to the midterms, 56% disapprove of Biden's job. Just 29% say they're good with it. Here's what's going on for the weather situation. Did you happen to see the eclipse?
Well, I obviously couldn't look at the sky because I was on the air, but
right.
I was watching it on YouTube as we were getting live play-by-play from Dr. Sky.
I heard.
So I watched it online.
I saw some of it. I saw it as it was starting
pretty
to
neat,
happen. Yeah,
neat.
It is very cool. So
and if you missed it, 600 years to the next one.
Exactly. No big deal. I'm sure we'll all be around. Fountain of Youth. Somehow is going to be discovered. So here's what we're looking at today, 48 degrees for a high. We will have lots of sun, which is going to be nice because it is a Friday. Winds, however, are going to be kind of brisk, 10 to 20 miles an hour. So it's not exactly a day that you may want to go sit outside and have lunch. You might want to plan for those reservations inside. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Saturday, just pretty much the same as today, 47 degrees. We'll have some sun in the morning, but increasing clouds in the afternoon. Sunday, we're looking at cloudy skies, but we will get a bit warmer, up to about 55. But by the evening hours, the rain will come in, and we'll probably see some heavy rains in certain parts of the area. Only a 70% chance. That's down from 90% yesterday. Monday, we are looking at rain showers in the morning with some clearing by the afternoon and a high of 55 degrees. Tuesday is when we see those really, really windy conditions with gusts over 40 miles an hour. And that's kind of scary because a lot of people are going to be flying in, my family included, from Florida. So hopefully that's not going to waylay their plans and your family's plans for the holiday. But we'll continue to keep an eye on that for you here at 77 WABC over the weekend. Currently, it's 43 right now in New York City.
Well, you mentioned President Biden's poll numbers earlier. He's trying to turn things around. And yesterday he signed three bills expanding benefits to police and first responders.
Today's investment and the bills that I'm about to sign share a goal of helping law enforcement officers and first responders be the protectors and the partners our communities need.
The news coming on the same day that the Department of Justice announced a $139 million grant to help police departments beef up the number of officers they have.
Now, I told you just a moment ago about those numbers that keep dropping for President Biden. Yesterday, he did have a pleasant moment. During that signing, as he signed the COPS Counseling Act, the president handed the pen over to a little boy, 7 years old. His name's Jake Bamba. Bamba's father was a Montgomery County police officer. His name's Thomas Bamba. He committed suicide after he was surviving a flesh-eating bacteria exposure at work. But obviously, it was just so troublesome for him. But anyway, it was a very nice moment and, you know, one of those heartwarming moments. And I think the president needed that because now, reportedly, there are a number of Democrats quietly behind the scenes asking whether he will even run again. He says he will, and many on his side of the aisle right now say he is the best bet to defeat Trump, but of course it's very early in the game.
Just hours after lawmakers censured Republican Paul Gosar for an animated video showing him killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and attacking the president, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy expanded on his vow to return the favor when it comes to the Democrats. He targeted three, in fact, Eric Swalwell of California, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, and Maxine Waters of California for potential sanctions, including stripping them of their committee assignments. Kevin McCarthy said this isn't about threats. It's about holding people accountable. Many pundits believe the Republicans are expected to regain the majority in the House come next year's midterm elections.
Certainly seems like it right now. All right, moving on now. Vice President Kamala Harris says she and the president are doing just fine. Harris sat down with Good Morning America's George Stephanopoulos on Thursday.
So you don't feel misused or underused?
No, I don't.
I mean, she was cracking up. She's kind of putting it all behind her. The chat coming just days after reports that the two have fallen out over Harris's lackluster performance.
The vice president was also asked about the influx of more than 1.7 million immigrants pouring over the Mexican border this year. She says it's not a problem that they can solve overnight.
We inherited a system, an immigration system that was deeply broken.
And we'll see where it goes from here.
As predicted, President Biden's pick for controller of the currency had a rough go of it during Thursday's hearing on Capitol Hill. Critics have accused the Soviet-born regulator of being a radical, a Marxist, a communist, and someone who wants to nationalize banking. Here is Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
You have the right to believe every one of these things. You do. This is America. But I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
But Omarova, Sala Omarova, says growing up in Kazakhstan during the Soviet era actually taught her to appreciate the American way of doing things.
I'm not a communist. I do not subscribe to that ideology. I could not choose where I was born.
After a four-year-long chill, North America's leaders are uniting again. President Biden resuming the North America Leaders Summit at the White House yesterday, along with Canada's Justin Trudeau and Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. It's the first gathering since of the three leaders since June of 2016. Former President Donald Trump paused the summit after conflict with Trudeau and Obrador's predecessor. The so-called Three Amigos Summit included talks on COVID, the economy, and migration. No talk of Martin Short nor Chevy Chase. One topic of disagreement: Biden's proposed tax cuts for American-made electric vehicles. Canada says that may violate the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Well, kind of following up on something we just talked about with trouble for the Democrats, another loss for the Democrats as North Carolina Representative G.K. Butterfield announces he is quitting the House. The move is following the redrawing of the congressional map in his area, which gives a hearty boost to the GOP. He is now the seventh House Democrat from a battleground district to decide to pull himself out of the running. Longtime Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California announced earlier this week that she would be leaving politics because she says she wants to be more than a weekend wife.
And as the Rittenhouse jury goes into its next day of deliberation today, some are calling out the media and the Democrats. Barry Weiss writes on her Common Sense newsletter that she thinks the two entities convicted the 18-year-old on a campaign of lies to suit their liberal agenda, blasting far-left lawmakers like Ayanna Pressley and Cori Bush for what she claims was ignoring facts and rushing to judgment. Others say let the facts in the trial speak for themselves. We'll see what happens in court today.
And in other courtroom news, the mother of a Virginia teen who was raped by her classmate in a school bathroom claims she and her husband were told to lay low about the incident to avoid jeopardizing their daughter's case. And that's why they're only talking out right now. The boy, who was dressed as a girl, was found guilty of the attack last month, that prompting a wild confrontation between the woman's husband and the school board.
And in sports, a lot going on football-wise. Giants gearing up for a primetime game this week. Jets looking to snap a two-game skid. And the Mets officially announced the hiring of Billy Epler as the team's 16th general manager. The Giants are gearing up for a primetime game on Monday. New York hits the road for Monday Night Football to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The G-Men have lost 9 consecutive games in prime time. Not looking much better of late for the Jets, who will be looking to snap a 2-game losing streak on Sunday. They're scheduled to host the Miami Dolphins. And the New York Metropolitans officially announced the hiring of Billy Epler as the team's 16th general manager. The deal is apparently for 4 years. Epler most recently served as the GM of the LA Angels from 2015 through 2020. Epler's no stranger to making notable decisions, as he's credited with hiring Joe Maddon as manager, signing Mike Trout to a 12-year extension, and signing current AL MVP Shohei Ohtani. And before we get to Joe Nolan, let me tell you about the Nets. And the Nets are hoping to build off a win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Brooklyn will look to pick up a second straight victory tonight when it comes to the Orlando Magic. The Nets enter tonight's game at 11-5 and lead the Atlantic Division.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're looking at a sunny day today with a high of 48, but we do have some wind, so that'll make it feel a lot chillier. Nice night tonight. Chilly. 35 degrees. Clear skies, though. 47 degrees for a high tomorrow. We will have some sun in the morning, but we will see some increasing clouds in the afternoon. High of 47. 55 degrees on Sunday with clouds. Light winds, but by Sunday night, the rain comes in and we should see some showers through the night and into the morning with some clearing on Monday afternoon. Monday, a high of 55 degrees. Those heavy winds come in on Tuesday. So if you've got family flying in, make sure you are aware of that. There might be some delays or even cancellations. Currently, the temperature right now in New York City is 43 degrees, Frank.
In an 11th hour shocker, Governor Kevin Stitt commuted the death sentence of an Oklahoma man just hours before his scheduled execution. Julius Jones has insisted he did not kill an Oklahoma businessman back in 1999. He says he was framed by a friend who testified against him. In 2018, his case drew worldwide attention after being featured in an ABC documentary. Since then, his story has become a cause celeb, attracting the attention of everyone from Kim Kardashian to Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. But the victim's sister, who witnessed the shooting, says she's certain Jones is the man who killed her brother. Instead, now Jones will serve out the rest of his sentence in prison.
Moving on now, two Iranian nationals facing criminal charges after allegedly trying to sway the 2020 U.S. presidential election. 24-year-old Sayed Mohammad Hossein Musa Kazemi and his cohort, Saad Kashan, allegedly sent letters to American voters threatening them if they didn't vote for Donald Trump. This according to the officials here in this country. They say that these men are accused of sending messages to Republican members of Congress and White House advisors warning them of a plot by the Democrats to engage in election fraud, as well as targeting a U.S. media company, we're not sure which one, in hopes of spurring a disinformation campaign. In those letters, those emails that they sent to people who they were wanting to vote vote for Donald Trump, the letters apparently were made to look like they were coming from the Proud Boys. So again, these men facing criminal charges now.
Let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. Trading week winding down after a mixed day of trading yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ finished higher, and the S&P 500 was boosted by big gains in companies like Bath & Body Works. And the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell 60 points, the S&P 500 rose 16, and the NASDAQ added 72 points. House Democrats are now planning on an early morning vote on President Biden's sweeping social safety net bill. Democrats had hoped to pass the bill Thursday evening, but House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy delayed the vote with an hours-long speech. The aim of the $1.9 trillion economic package is to dramatically expand social services, invest in addressing climate change, increase access to health care, and deliver aid to families and children. Votes expected at 8 o'clock this morning. And two automakers are taking action after shutting down plants due to a computer chip shortage. Ford is teaming up with semiconductor supplier Global Foundries to boost supplies. It could also give the company more control over the design of its chips. General Motors is working with chip suppliers as well to develop three types of microprocessors to handle almost all of its computing needs. Experts predict the shortage will last well into next year. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Let's get you some COVID news now. For the first time in roughly 2 months, experts predict COVID deaths will begin to increase again. The good news is it looks like we are incredibly good shape when it comes to a COVID treatment. The drug company Pfizer has inked a deal with the feds. The government is going to pay the company more than $5 billion for 10 million courses of its COVID-19 treatment. It's basically a pill. On Tuesday, Pfizer asked the Food and Drug Administration to okay emergency use of this experimental pill, which apparently has cut down on hospitalizations and deaths among the infected. The FDA is also reviewing a pill from Merck and is expected to hold a public meeting on that later on this month. So the Pfizer pill is going for about $530 per treatment. That's a little bit less than the Merck pill, which costs roughly $700 per course.
Coming up, we'll have traffic and transit on the sevens. I'll tell you what's happening in terms of sports and a lot of other big news, including the situation that we're watching in terms of White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who said on Wednesday that racism and sexism are at the root of negative critiques of Vice President Kamala Harris. She argued that the lack of news conferences by President Biden is a problem for the media rather than the American public. During a live-streamed event hosted by Politico's Women Rule Exchange, political senior editor Anita Kumar asked Psaki if she felt Harris was receiving more criticism because she's the first woman and the first woman of color to serve as vice president. Yes, Psaki responded, before adding, criticism from the outside, absolutely. I do think that it has been easier and harsher from some on the right wing who've gone after her because she's the first woman of color. CNN reported earlier this week that the vice president has been increasingly sidelined inside the administration while being tasked with handling politically dangerous situations.
And I want to give you an update on what's happening with former Governor Andrew Cuomo. The New York State Assembly issued a scathing impeachment report on the former governor that claims he is a serial sexual harasser who misused state resources to write that self-congratulatory book during the COVID pandemic. The findings are from a draft of the Assembly Judiciary Committee's 45-page investigative report on Cuomo. It also blasts him for deliberately undercounting nursing deaths from the virus to make himself look better.
A controversial New York Times contributor who raised eyebrows when old tweets critical of white people resurfaced is once again feeling the heat for claiming that inflation hysterics is being driven by wealthy people. All the stuff you see about inflation in the news is driven by rich people flipping their blank because their parasitic assets aren't doing as well as they'd like, and they're scared that unemployment benefits plus stimmy checks plus $15 minimum wage plus labor shortage is why. That's a tweet from Sarah Jung on Wednesday, and she left the New York Times editorial board 2 years ago and assumed the role of contracted contributor for New York Times Opinion. The liberal writer faced quick and thick backlash for her latest comments about the economy. This tweet is a failure to comprehend basic economics, OutKick founder Clay Travis said.
And speaking of the economy, at least at Target in San Francisco, has been suffering a real blow over the last year. Here's why. So just back up a little bit. San Francisco's DA getting cheers and jeers for charging an infamous shoplifter, DA Chesa Boudin, making the move 2 weeks after voters had a petition approved to recall him. This shoplifter has been apparently at work for the last year, stealing $40,000 from the same exact Target store in 120 separate incidents over the course of this year. In San Francisco, charges of property theft less than $950 was downgraded from a felony to a misdemeanor back in 2014. And so this alleged shoplifter, has not been busted. Now she is finally getting the charges, and people are saying it's only because the San Francisco DA is feeling the heat.
Squad member Rashida Tlaib had to book her own travel to her hometown of Detroit after President Joe Biden left her off the manifest for Air Force One after her refusal to vote for his $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Tlaib was among a group of House progressives, including squad members Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley, who wouldn't budge, even as a pair of Michigan Republicans helped provide votes to Biden's top legislative achievement so far. She earned a mention from Biden in his remarks at General Motors that makes electric cars, but did not score a ride on the presidential aircraft. That invitation was extended only to members of Congress who voted for the infrastructure bill. That's according to ABC's News, who cited an anonymous administration source.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 48 degrees today with lots of sun, but it will feel colder because we will have some brisk winds. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies and a low of 35. Tomorrow, we'll have some sun in the morning, but the clouds will start rolling in the afternoon. We'll get up to about 47 degrees. On Sunday, we should see some cloudy skies during the day and a high of 55, but the rain will start to come in Sunday night and into Monday. We should have showers in the morning, possible clearing in the afternoon, high of 55 on Monday. Tuesday, again, those winds will be whipping with gusts over 40 miles an hour. So if you have people coming in on airplanes, make sure that you are aware that the flights may be delayed or potentially even canceled. 43 degrees right now in New York City.
Well, we have a whole lot more news coming your way in just a moment, including the top five at 5:30 and sports, business, weather, you name it. A lot of news coming your way over the course of the next half hour. This is the WABC Early News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. WABC News time is 5:30. Frank will be along in just a moment. But first, we are going to bring you the top stories making headlines today.
It's the top five at 5:30.
Thank you, sir. The jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is back today for day four of deliberations. Yesterday, the judge banned MSNBC from the courthouse. Police say they detained a guy who claimed to be a freelance producer for the network. Apparently, this man was spotted following the jury bus and allegedly trying to take pictures of them. So NBC booted from coverage.
Concerning movements overseas, a new report claiming China's military is so powerful, it's capable of a full-scale invasion of Taiwan and has already added weapons and ships for an attack on the island. The report also claiming the situation is worsening due to a, quote, dangerous uncertainty when it comes to America's ability to deter an attack. Taiwan, meantime, testing their fighter jets yesterday in what experts say is a provocative move and a show of strength and cooperation with the United States.
President Biden announcing Thursday that the United States is considering pulling its diplomats from the Winter Olympics, which is happening in Beijing. It's basically a diplomatic boycott, if you will. The move in response to a lack of response by China to the world's concerns over human rights abuses. American athletes would still be allowed to compete. And we are going to bring you another story coming up momentarily about something that's going on in China that is also raising questions and also may contribute to this boycott.
The Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, yesterday said that President Biden's massive climate change and social policy deal would have an equally massive effect on the national debt, something to the tune of $160 billion over the next decade. The news contradicting the president's earlier promises. Last week's vote on the package was derailed after a lengthy speech by Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. The group plans on reconvening again this morning.
And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is making children cry today. No, I don't know. Maybe they'd like this idea. He's proposing a year-round school statewide. This presumably if he runs and wins governor of New York. He says the plan would be paid for by taxing the rich. And those are your top five at 5:30. WABC News time is 5:32. Traffic and weather on the sevens. But first, we have some more stories to bring to you. The AP reporting Kim Kardashian West, along with her clothing company Skims, paid for a flight for members of the Afghanistan Female Youth Development Soccer Team and their relatives. Apparently, the group wanted to leave Pakistan for the U.S. They were in Pakistan. The flight carrying 130 people took off Wednesday, landed in London yesterday. Most of the people on board left their houses when the Taliban took over in Afghanistan. Some even lost their relatives to the rebel group. So Kim Kardashian getting credited with helping them find a better life.
The judge overseeing the case against former Trump advisor Steve Bannon nixing the request from both sides. Trump-appointed federal judge Carl Nicholas refused to put off Bannon's next court appearance till January. The judge also shot down a prosecution effort to set a date for trial. The moves come a day after Bannon pled not guilty to allegations he refused to cooperate with the committee investigation that the committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack.
All right. So here is this disturbing story out of China. We actually told you about this a few days back. A Chinese tennis pro who actually in 2014 ranked number one in doubles by the World Tennis Association has been missing since the beginning of the month. Friends, family, colleagues and world tennis officials now suspect foul play. Peng Shuai disappeared earlier this month after accusing a top Chinese official of sexually assaulting her. On Thursday, Chinese officials released an email that they say was written Bai Shui, in it, she not only claims that she's fine and she's just resting comfortably at home, but she also apparently is pulling back on her allegations against the high-ranking official. She says that those allegations aren't true. Now, this is according to this email. Women's Tennis Association boss Steve Simon says, after seeing that, he is more concerned than ever. He says colleagues across the sport are too. Many, including Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka, now are calling for an investigation. They say something is not right here. This is really a disturbing story, I have to say.
Russian-guided missile frigate Admiral Gorshkov has successfully test-fired a Sirkon hypersonic cruise missile against a target located in the White Sea waters. The Russian Defense Ministry said that yesterday. The testing was conducted amidst fresh confrontation between Russia and the West. Last week, Britain's most senior military officer, General Nick Carter, said there's a greater risk of an accidental war breaking out between the West and Russia than at any time since the Cold War, with many of the traditional diplomatic tools no longer viable. Tensions have been mounting in Eastern Europe in recent weeks after the EU accused Belarus of flying in thousands of migrants to engineer a humanitarian crisis on its border with EU member state Poland. A dispute that threatens to draw in Russia and NATO. President Vladimir Putin said a few days ago that unscheduled NATO drills in the Black Sea posed a serious challenge for Moscow and that Russia had nothing to do with the crisis on Belarus's border with the bloc. Britain said on November 12th that a small team of UK military personnel had been deployed to explore engineering support for Poland on its border with Belarus.
Moving on now, Republicans are very, very concerned about Biden's planned investment in IRS enforcement. They say that it would lead to 1.2 million extra audits a year, with almost half impacting families earning less than $75,000. Biden is proposing spending about $80 billion on tightening tax regulations. In a memo, the GOP said it would double the number of audits in the next decade, and families, again, of modest means would probably be the worst ones hit. Almost half of those extra audits would affect these families. The White House says the push will be focused on those earning more than $400,000, not less than $75,000. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a nice day today, sunny and chilly. It's going to be 48 degrees, but it'll feel a lot chillier because we're going to have some brisk winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, clear skies, low of 35. Tomorrow, some sun in the morning, increasing clouds in the afternoon, and a high of just 47. Sunday's looking cloudy as well. We get a little bit warmer, up to about 55 degrees. By Sunday night, the rain comes in, and that will continue into Monday morning with some clearing by Monday afternoon, a high of 55 on Monday. It gets really chilly on Tuesday. The winds also increase. We're only going to see a high of about 41, but we should see winds about 20 to 30 miles an hour, and we can probably expect gusts over 40 miles an hour. Again, I keep wanting to reiterate, you know, we've got a lot of people flying in and flying out of the area, so be very careful. Make sure you check your airline carrier, because we will likely have some delays and possibly even cancellations because of the winds, but also because of storms throughout the United States. So just, again, keep an eye on those flights. 43 degrees right now in New York City.
Well, let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street and in the business community. Trading week winding down after a mixed day of trading yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ finished higher. And at the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell 60 points, S&P 500 rose 16, and the NASDAQ rose 72 points. Jeff Bezos will donate nearly $100 million to nonprofits serving homeless families. The money will come from the Bezos Day One Families Fund and will give grants to 32 groups across 21 states. Bezos started the fund with his former wife, Mackenzie Scott. One recipient will include a San Jose, California nonprofit called Home that will use its $5 million to help end family homelessness in Santa Clara County. And CVS says it will close 900 stores over the next 3 years. This move comes as CVS adjusts to shoppers who are buying more online. The drugstore chain said it will instead focus on digital growth and changing over its remaining stores to healthcare destinations. Store closures will begin in the spring of next year. CVS has declined to report which of its locations are expected to shut down. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Also, keeping with the economy, the number of Americans filing for unemployment down again. It's the seventh straight week, with claims falling by 1,000 from the week before. according to the Department of Labor. The news signaling a strong recovery from last year's pandemic recession. And, you know, regarding that CVS story, apparently they say that it's a result of changing customer needs and they're kind of streamlining, but it's, they haven't really given any indication as to where these store closures would take place. All right. Let's move on now. We've got some exciting news out of Boston. A new Alzheimer's vaccine is in trials there. It's a two-dose spray that researchers say removes plaque on the brain. That is really what they say smothers our neurons, which in turn causes Alzheimer's. It affects more than 6 million Americans and kills 100,000 here every single year. This is the first trial of its kind, and it comes nearly 20 years of research. So it's kind of culminating right now. Yeah, so this is very exciting, keeping an eye on that one, too.
I'm taking it. That would be great.
I don't think you can quite yet.
Well, the house that Kobe Bryant built is getting a name change, and it's not the Bryant Center. Late next month, Staples Center in Los Angeles will be Crypto.com Arena. The Associated Press reporting Crypto is paying $700 million over 20 years for the new moniker. If true, it would be the most expensive naming rights deal in sports history. Staples has been home to the NBA's Lakers and the Clippers, the NHL's Kings, and the WNBA's Sparks for the past 22 years. The historic changeover will go into effect when the Lakers host the Brooklyn Nets on Christmas Day.
All right. Coming back here to New York City, there is a very controversial event happening at a Manhattan junior high school. The school apparently plans to racially separate students while discussing identity and social justice topics next week. This is according to the New York Post. The Lower Manhattan Community School is going to be conducting this exercise as part of its mission to, quote, undo the legacy of racism and oppression in this country that impacts our school community. This is according to an email that was sent out to the parents of the kids in the school. So here's what's happening. Kids grades 7 and 8 will opt into one of five categories. Whites, Asians, and multiracial students have their own categories. African American and Hispanic students are combined into one group, according to the principal. This is happening on November 23rd and 24th. They're going to be exploring the question, how do our racial identities influence our experiences? The school has also offered an additional group, which appears to be for those who are uncomfortable with this whole format. No word on whether parents can opt their kids out of this. But is definitely going to be controversial. We will continue to follow the story to see if it actually happens. Again, it's supposed to be happening on November 23rd and 24th.
Proposed skyscraper could become the Western Hemisphere's second tallest, just behind One World Trade Center. The Affirmation Tower would also become one of the world's most unusual. Listen to this. It goes from the, it cantilevers from the bottom up. So it looks like it's upside down.
Yeah.
So if it's approved, it would be the first skyscraper in New York City by a black architect, Sir David Adjaye of Ghana. His firm says making it the second tallest rather than trying to go for number one was an intentional decision out of respect for what One World Trade Center represents. If plans go through, it would go up on Manhattan's west side near Hudson Yards, and it would be the headquarters of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP.
I really like this. I think it looks very cool if you see the pictures of it.
It does look very unique, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Federal investigators, I heard you talking about this on your show, urgently trying to find out what a handful of vials containing allegedly smallpox were doing in a Philadelphia area lab freezer. It was out in the suburbs. 15 vials, five of which were labeled smallpox, were discovered by a lab worker. He was just cleaning out the freezer, and he or she, and there you go. The problem is that samples are only supposed to be stored in two places. Smallpox samples are only supposed to be stored in a lab in Russia and a lab in Atlanta. The virus itself wiped out 3 out of every 10 people back in the early 1900s. That was basically a chunk of the world's population. It remains today one of only 2 officially eradicated diseases, according to experts. Do you know the second one, Frank?
Polio?
Rinderpest.
Ah. Never
the cattle-killing rinderpest, which I've never even heard of.
Never would have gotten that one.
Yeah. Apparently, there have been discoveries of these vials here and there, so maybe it was just something that had been left from years and years, but a little strange since it's been a long time since they've allegedly eradicated this thing.
All right, let me tell you what you can expect for the weekend in sports. The Giants are gearing up for a primetime game on Monday. They hit the road for Monday Night Football to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The G-Men have lost 9 consecutive games in primetime. The Jets, not faring much better of late. They'll be looking to snap a 2-game skid on Sunday. They're scheduled to host the Miami Dolphins. Joe Flacco will get the start at quarterback for the injured Zach Wilson. Mike White will serve as the team's backup. The Jets enter this week last in the AFC East at 2-7. The New York Metropolitans announced the hiring of Billy Epler as the team's 16th general manager. The deal is reportedly for 4 years, and Epler most recently served as the general manager of the LA Angels. The Nets are hoping to build off a win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Brooklyn will look to pick up a second straight victory tonight when they welcome in the Orlando Magic. The Nets enter tonight's game at 11-5 and lead the Atlantic Division. The Knicks are hoping to right the ship after dropping 3 of their last 4 games. New York closes out its 3-game homestand tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets. The Knicks will enter tomorrow night's game at 8-7. The Rangers' 4-game winning streak has come to an end. New York dropped last night's game to the Maple Leafs 2-1 in Toronto, and the Devils have dropped each of their last 3 games. New Jersey fell in last night's game to the Panthers 4-1. And we are not seeing good news for the Devils and their fans. Mm-hmm. Islanders wait for their home opener has nearly come to an end. New York is back from its 13-game season-opening road trip and will host the Calgary Flames in its first-ever game at UBS Arena tomorrow night. The Islanders will be looking to snap a 4-game losing streak.
We have one quick entertainment story, actually 2 entertainment stories, and then we're going to give you the big news of the day once again. A new film on Hunter Biden is in the works. British actor Lawrence Fox plays the president's son, and from the pictures he recently tweeted out from the set, it is pretty clear this is one film the president and first lady probably won't want to see on their next date night. Frank. One of the pictures shows a shirtless Fox painting. Okay, it's, you know, nebulous. Another one shows him laying on the breast of a woman with white powder on his nose. Fox, you might not recognize him. If you might remember him, though, if you watched Victoria from PBS, he played Lord Palmerston on that series. He has become kind of a household name over in the UK over his right-wing supporting activism that has, you know, pretty much gotten him more attention than his acting has, at least over there. In fact, he unsuccessfully ran for mayor of London recently. My son Hunter started production in Serbia last month, and apparently it takes place during Hunter's time in Ukraine.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And finally, we also know who is going to play Jerry Garcia in Apple's upcoming Grateful Dead movie. Director Martin Scorsese casting Jonah Hill.
Oh.
Yeah, who earned an Oscar nod for a previous Scorsese film, The Wolf of Wall Street. No word on who is going to play the other band members.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of other news before we get to Sid Rosenberg and find out what's on the Bernie and Sid show. More COVID boosters are expected to get the green light this morning. The FDA was planning to sign off on Pfizer's vaccine for all adults and will now reportedly include Moderna as well after the company asked for approval. The move would come before the CDC advisors vote today on expanding eligibility with no restrictions. That means once the CDC director weighs in, millions could get a boost in protection before Thanksgiving.
And we mentioned Mayor Bill de Blasio, the, I guess you could say, lame duck mayor who wants to be governor. He wants to make year-round school a reality for the state if he is elected governor. He also is once again trying to ban Central Park carriages. His administration apparently putting together legislation that phases out those hansom cabs finally and replaces them with show cars. This is according to the New York Times. Mm. Now, are you familiar with the show cars concept?
My understanding when it's been proposed previously, it would be like vintage antique cars that would take the place of you'd ride around in these instead of on a horse-drawn carriage.
I would imagine they would be convertibles.
I think, you know, again, there's been a few different permutations of this plan, but I think they would be electric vehicles, but they would look just like vintage automobiles from the 50s or so.
I don't know. I've changed my mind on this whole topic. I kind of support it. Support the
Banning them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel bad for the horses, you know.
Yeah. Well, you see a lot of injuries happening, so we'll see where this goes. And a House vote on President Biden's social spending bill is delayed until later this morning. Democrats tried to pass it last night, but finally gave up after House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy stalled by speaking on the floor for four straight hours. The $2 trillion package would expand Medicare, lower the cost of some prescription drugs, and provide free pre-kindergarten for all children. It would also overhaul climate, immigration, and tax laws. We should see some news on that beginning at around 8 o'clock this morning.
And speaking of the president, tough times for Joe Biden. The numbers keep dropping for him. A new Quinnipiac poll released yesterday found 36%, just 36% of Americans overall approve of his job performance. That is a slight, just an eensy-weensy dip of 1% since last month, but it is the lowest that it's ever been. Among independents, who experts believe are key to the midterms, 56% disapprove of the job he's doing. Just 29% say they're good with it. And that has led to a number of Democrats asking quietly, allegedly, whether the president will even run again. He says he will, and many on his side of the aisle say right now he is still the best bet to defeat Trump, but of course this is years away. On a happier note for the president, on Thursday, he signed three bills expanding benefits to police and first responders.
Today's investment and the bills that I'm about to sign share a goal of helping law enforcement officers and first responders be the protectors and the partners our communities need.
The news coming on the same day, Biden's DOJ announced a $139 million grant to help police departments beef up the number of officers that they have.
At least 11 states are investigating Instagram for targeting children, despite knowing the app could cause harm. Research showed the site affects the mental health of teens. New York's attorney general called this extremely dangerous, while the attorney general in Massachusetts says Facebook is exploiting children in the interest of profit. The investigation will explore if the company violated consumer protection laws and put the public at risk.
Just hours after lawmakers censured Republican Paul Gosar for an animated video showing him killing AOC and attacking the president in anime form, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy expanded on his vow to return the favor when it comes to the Democrats. He targeted three, in fact: Eric Swalwell of California, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, and Maxine Waters of California, for potential sanctions, including stripping them of their committee assignments. Kevin McCarthy saying this isn't about threats, it's about holding people accountable.
And a rare copy of the Constitution is now in the hands of a new owner. Someone bought it at auction yesterday for $43 million, more than half of what it was expected to sell for. A cryptocurrency group had hoped to be the winning bid, even starting a crowdfunding page for donations, but they lost out and promised to refund more than 17,000 contributors. The copy of the Constitution is one of only 11 from the first printing.
And a memo going out on November 16th, signed by the Army Secretary Christine Wormuth, is making some people not so happy, to say the least. Soldiers who refuse to get the COVID vaccine and have not requested an exemption will no longer be allowed to reenlist or be promoted, effectively ending their military careers. This new directive applies to active duty troops as well as reservists and guardsmen, including those serving in states whose governors do not require the vaccine.
5:54. Let's get a look at what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show with the Sid portion.
Hi, Sydney.
Of the Bernie and Sid show. Sid Rosenberg.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Good. You're looking very tan with the contrast in the white Oxford.
And I'm actually going tanning today.
I haven't tanned since Monday.
I know, it's crazy. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
You're addicted.
How was the Teddy Atlas dinner last night?
It was very, very nice.
I heard Mayor-elect Adams was going to make an appearance.
I didn't see him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Actually, you know who sat at my table? Max Rose. That's kind of
former
funny.
Congressman Max Rose.
Yes. Lost to Nicole Malliotakis. Nice pictures on my Instagram account of me, Tracy Morgan, Evander Holyfield, Teddy Atlas. Those are the really the big names last night. Mostly Tracy. Tracy got a huge standing ovation. But no, I did not see Eric Adams there last night.
Okay. Yeah. How about our borough president, James Otto? Did you see him?
I didn't see him either. I didn't see Vito Pacella. I didn't see too many Staten Island politicians there last night, but it was a packed house.
Packed house.
It always is. They do a lot of great work.
A lot of the celebs that usually come every year, guys like Tony Danza, Bill Sims, they weren't there last night. Mm. But a lot of boxing guys, Chuck Zito, Peter Gordio from Gravesend, those guys were there. Nice night. And got home about 11:30, and I'm exhausted.
Well, hey, it's Friday.
I know. Thank God it's Friday.
Go home, skip the tanning, and just give yourself some extra Z's.
Tanning, extra zinc, sleep. Jim, and then enjoy my weekend.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show?
Quiet show today. Just Bobby Valentine, former great
New York Met manager. Just Bobby Valentine?
Yeah, just Bobby.
The man who should be mayor of Stamford, Connecticut.
He should be, but he lost to Caroline Simmons. His new book is out,
By
Valentine's Way. Who's that?
By a squeaker. I mean,
it was close race. Yes,
close,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. His book is with Post Hill Press, and so is mine. So me, Bobby Valentine, and Miranda Devine all have our books coming out over the next couple of months, all with Post Hill Press, which is basically Simon & Schuster. So Bobby's going to join us today, talk about his Met career and losing the gubernatorial, the race, I should say, in Connecticut.
Well, hopefully he will make a return to politics. I'm a big fan, and he's an incredible guy. You've got to ask him if the job is offered to him, will he manage the Staten Island Ferry Hawks?
Wow.
You got to do it.
You go from managing the New York Mets against the Yankees in the World Series.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you want to enjoy your life, enjoy this time. It's not a lot of pressure.
You're right. I'm going
to
ask
I'm
actually going to beg him to take the job.
Yeah, great. Gary will give you a contract right now.
Oh, Gary Perrone, my man is so excited. He's Instagramming up a storm. More than the Jersey housewife, Gary Perrone.
All right, thanks, Sid.
Have a good weekend. 5:50. By the way, I'm coming on at 9:40. Beat Bernie.
Yes.
Celebrity beat Bernie, or lack of celebrity beat Bernie. I'm studying. I'm spending the next 3 hours studying. 5:50.
The New York Times says that the FBI is investigating a Jersey City landfill under the Pulaski Skyway to see if Jimmy Hoffa is buried there. Now, this is according to the New York Times. An FBI spokesperson said that agents had conducted a site survey there last month, but they wouldn't say if it had anything to do with Hoffa.
Interesting. I know Eric Sean from the Fox News Channel has done some great work on this, and he has a whole special about this on Fox Nation. And I've spoken to him about this, and he believes that that is the most likely location for Jimmy Hoffa's final resting place.
Seems
it is
reasonable.
In New Jersey. So it'll be interesting to see. Hey, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, a couple of turkeys are getting the presidential treatment. On Thursday, the White House took to Twitter to announce the pardons of two turkeys ahead of the holiday. The birds, named Peanut Butter and Jelly, are set to be excused from this year's feast by President Biden today. Following the ceremony, the turkeys will be sent to Purdue University for the remainder of their days. Presidential turkey
pardons.
Shouldn't
they be sending chickens there?
Don't make me laugh. Presidential turkey pardons have been a White House tradition for supposedly over 150 years.
And on that note, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Again, make sure you pay attention to the airlines because there may be flight delays coming up early on in the week.